Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Helena B. from Providence, Rhode Island, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 26th, episode 688. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday. It's a beautiful day here in Florida. I don't know. It's a beautiful day there in Rhode Island.
It is a beautiful day here. A little on the humid side, but it's summer, and that's okay. It's good for your skin.
Well, and you're about a mile from the ocean, so you can just walk down to the beach. It's kind of nice. I'll tell you what isn't a beautiful day, Helena. I hate to start the show bitching and complaining, but I'm going to. Because we had a TomTom GPS, and the thing constantly would lock up, and then you'd have to bring it in the house and plug it in and try and unbrick it. By the way, that's the geeky term for when when an electronic device locks up. It's called bricking. Because you can't do anything with it, it just becomes a great big brick. Well, our TomTom used to lock up all the time, so it's like, all right, we're going to spend the money, we're going to splurge, we're going to spend a couple hundred dollars, we're going to buy a good GPS. So we went out and bought the Magellan, we got one of the good ones, you know. This thing has locked up more than the TomTom. It just is so annoying, because you'd be like at your destination and have to come home, and the thing locks up. So I get the phone out, I have to do the GPS on the phone, and then the phone dies, and I have to plug the phone in. Oh, it's just such a pain, and then you have to hook it up and try and unbrick it by hooking it to your computer and doing the updates. And then you have to find the cable. Do you have this problem, too, where I just have boxes of cables? I mean, just boxes of cables.
I have boxes of cables, not just one box full of cables. I have a box over here with cables in it. I got a box down there with cables in it, and the cables are all different.
Yes. And do you know what any of them are for?
Nope.
Me either. So I had to look through this box of cables to find the Magellan one. And why isn't there a tag on it that says Magellan? Because that would have helped.
No, because they want you to go out and buy another one. You know what I started doing? I take like little medical tape and I wrap it around the cable, and I write what it's for. Like for my, you know, I have a USB cable. I've got one for my phone. I've got one for my camera. I got one for external, you know, peripheral hardware, stuff like that. I can't remember. And they all look the same. So you got to tape them up.
I know, but you know what? That would require forethought and effort. And my ADD would get in the way right about where I was trying to find the tape to put it on the thing, and then I'd be doing something else, and it just never happened.
Yeah, you'd be going up, like, upstairs to the bathroom to get the medical tape, and you'd be like, where's my hair conditioner?
That's right. I was up here. Why was I up here?
Coffee. Yeah. Maybe you might not be looking for hair conditioner. That's kind of a girly thing, but, you know, you'd get distracted on the way up.
Sort of my life, Helena. Sort of my life right there.
Maybe curlers. Maybe you'd be distracted by curlers, hot rollers.
So I have to go somewhere right after the show today. So I have the Magellan hooked up to my computer at this very point, and it's doing an update. And I love this, too, because it says it doesn't charge while it's hooked up. So it says make sure your device and computer are not shut down during this update. Well, you know these GPSs don't last very long on battery. So I wonder what happens if it doesn't last till the end of the update. Does the thing just never start again? I'm just done.
Why don't you just use your phone's GPS? It's always
updates. I do that at times. But it is nice to have the big GPS right up there, and plus then you don't have to worry about answering a phone call.
You're not getting away with that, Glenn. No. The reason he doesn't use the phone GPS is because then he can't talk on his phone.
That's right. That's what I was saying.
At the same time he drives.
That's right. That's correct. That's exactly why.
Wait a minute. You don't need to be – hold on a second. He wants to talk on his phone and get directions and drive all at the same time?
Yes.
Yes.
And play the iPod with his podcast on it. All
Holy
the same.
Cow.
Oh, did
Holy
we mention
cow.
Eating lunch? We forgot eating lunch. We didn't throw that in there. You know, guys,
you are a true American. You are a true American.
Jennifer,
well,
what's on
minute.
Today's show?
Well, no. Just wait 1 second, then we'll get to today's show.
Oh, by the way, before we go any further, let's just announce that it is time to call in to play the Wheel of Trivia. You can do that by calling 347-637-3238. And we better get to today on today's show, or Jennifer's not going to be able to line up our guests. So.
All right.
We'll do this quickly, Helena, and then
Wheel
you get back
trivia,
to regular.
By the way.
We're going to this is not done.
We've gone down the path already, folks. It's too late. On today's We Love Hump Day Wednesday edition, once we have spun our way through 20 minutes of equestrian hijinks and made a mess of everyone's self-confidence, we will find out how all those cool things we see at the tack shop get there, as we take a peek behind the scenes of Equus Now with Equus Now owner Rose. And then to wrap up our Wednesday, we invite thehorse.com here to create havoc within our digestive system with information about our horse's insides.
That's because we were all trying to figure out what thehorse.com was saying in their notes that they sent us and what they were actually going to talk about, and we all have no idea. So
it's truly out there, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be all learning with you at the same time. Usually we have some idea, but even reading the notes, we had no idea. So let's we'll look forward to that a little bit later in the show. Well, let's do our daily mini. Well, my daily Winnie goes to Kaleidoscopio. Kaleidoscopio is a 10-year-old racehorse who is still doing his thing on the track, Helena, and this video has made the rounds and has been, you know, has millions of downloads now, but I have to talk about it because it's just incredible. It just goes to show you don't have to start these horses at two, that they can be started a little later and still have a pretty good career. Now, you might recognize the name Kaleidoscopio because he was the one that won in the Breeders' Cup Marathon last November at Santa Anita Racetrack, and he is 10 years old. He's from Argentina. And he is ridden in this race at the Brooklyn Handicap at Belmont Park. It was a $200,000 race the other day. And he's ridden by Aaron Grider, who was part of the Jockey Show, if anybody watched that a long time ago. So I have the last half of the race. This is a mile and a half race, so it's pretty long. This Kaleidoscopio is a marathoner, that is for sure. So let me find it on my list here. I have the last half of this race, Helena, for you to listen to, so we're coming in right in the middle.
With 5.5 furlongs remaining, he makes a move on the outside, starting to pass horses, then Bird Run. It's at least 20 lengths back to Kaleidoscopio as the field moves into the far turn. Percussion has led this race through three-quarters of a mile in 1, 12, and 4. As they round the far turn, half mile left, they got a mile in 37 and 4. Percussion still in control. Keep me informed a second. Ruler on Ice is now asked to pick it up. Fast Falcon continues a steady march toward the lead on the far outside. And then it's Flashy Sunrise. And it's another two back to Bird Run. And starting to get underway from the back of the pack is Kaleidoscopio. And he is now about 10 from the lead as the field turns for home. It's still Percussion in front. And Fast Falcon is second as they make their way toward the top of the stretch. Keep me informed down toward the rail. Ruler on Rice is now struggling, and Kaleidoscopio is making a giant run. He was so far behind earlier, but he's still got a lot to do to get to Percussion, who's trying to do it all the way on the lead. Kaleidoscopio stretching those 10-year-old legs as they come down to the line. Kaleidoscopio, absolutely remarkable! The long-winded 10-year-old Kaleidoscopio had to make up 25 lengths to defeat Percussion at the end, and then it was Fast Falcon third in a remarkable redoing of the venerable Brooklyn Handicap.
There you go. 25 lengths behind, and he won the race.
Wow.
Amazing.
I got, like, I'm giggling and smiling listening to it.
It's
the announcer,
it?
Man. You got to get the right announcer. They can totally make you feel what you can't see.
You know, and some of the announcers, you know, I all the time we're looking at different races we can play on the air, but you're right. Some of the announcers just aren't, you know, graphic enough. They aren't lively enough that when you hear it on radio, it just doesn't work. But that, you know, this guy absolutely works, and we've had him before. But I'll tell you what, it was a fun race, and he truly was. If you watch the video, he was way back. I mean, there was no chance he was even going to finish close to the other horses, let alone win the race. It was a very, very fun race. By the way, he's an Argentina trainer by the name of Mike Poyopi, something like that. I don't know how to exactly pronounce his name, but good job. Kaleidoscope.
Yeah. It's fun good job. That's an understatement.
Well, let's do, we got people lining up to play the Wheel of Trivia. Jennifer's getting everybody set up right now. So we are going to do that. But first, I have to get my stuff organized here. Sound file wise, we'll play this first.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, that's right. It's that time for this week's Wheel of Trivia, brought to you by EquityMFG.com, our favorite manure forks in the whole world. This is how it works. Helena is going to give you the categories that you can answer from. You pick one of the categories. Helena asks you an equestrian-related question. You answer it correctly, and you will hear. I don't have it ready. Sorry about that. Can you hear the bell?
You can all hear the bell.
Okay, good. So you will hear the bell if you answer correctly. If you answer incorrectly, you will hear the high school basketball buzzer. That is correct. Now, also what we have been starting to do over the last recent weeks, it's been a lot of fun, is Helena's also going to ask a question of the day of everybody that plays. What's our question of the day?
Our question of the day is, what is your favorite brand of truck? And the choices are Ford, Chevy, GMC, Dodge, or other.
Very good. What is your favorite there, Helena?
Chevy.
Yeah, Chevy was our first truck, too, although we really like Dodges. I just think they look cool.
Well, Chevy and GMC are pretty much the same. Like, when I bought my Chevy Silverado, it's pretty much the same as the GMC Sierra. It was, like, identical. Literally identical. I think the only difference was, like, quite literally a half an inch in, like, the wheelbase or something. It's really
right. Yeah, I think our favorite truck, though, is we owned one of the first when Dodge came out with a new design with the really cool front end, and we had a Dodge Diesel back then. I think that was one of my favorite trucks ever, with the Dodge Diesel.
You're all about the pretty looks. You're all about the
rumble. I like the rumble. I like that people could hear you coming.
Yeah, well, if you drive a Dodge for 30 years, people hear you coming.
Every year, they hear you coming sooner. Yes.
That's funny. What are our categories today?
The categories today are horses by the numbers, horses in history. Oh, come on, nobody knows that. All right, let me say that one again. Oh, come on, nobody knows that. I love
Yeah,
you,
we'll
Jen.
See if anybody picks that one. All
and
right, let's get it
have,
started.
Wait. We also have a kids category as well.
Okay, yep, if we have any kids calling. Very good. Yep. All right, let's get started with Uta today. She is on the line first today. Good morning, Uta.
Good morning.
Hey, Helena, before you get started with Uta, I do have an announcement to make. Uta is a regular listener and an avid contributor to our Facebook page, and she is going to be co-hosting the show on Monday morning with us.
Excellent. Great selection, you guys. Love it.
A listener co-host. I'm looking forward to it, Uta.
Yes, I am too. I'm very excited.
Well, you know, you know the show better than us. I could probably just take the day off and let you do it.
He's always trying to get out of something. He's always trying to get out of it. Don't let him. He will.
Well,
he will
I know.
Leave
you can fill in for him.
Yeah. All right, that's fine. Let's just kick him out altogether. We don't need him.
So go ahead, Helena. Question of the day.
Okay. So which category would you like to choose from? Horses by the numbers, horses in history, or oh, come on, nobody knows that.
I'm going to go with the last. Oh, come on, nobody knows that.
That a girl.
Really? Boy, she's brave. But first, tell us which truck you like. Your favorite
truck. Dodge all the way.
Yay! I knew I liked Uta.
Okay.
So nobody can
for
turn
Glenn.
In my driveway. The Chevy can turn in my driveway. The Chevy can't. The Ford can't. But the Dodge turns like a charm.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, so question from Oh, come on, nobody knows that. Okay. From what nation was the winner of the individual gold medal in endurance riding at the 2010 World Equestrian Games?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to take a guess. I have no idea. I'm going to go with the U.S.
Oh.
The answer
but, you know,
is
boy,
Spain.
She met it when she said this is a category nobody knows that. I was there and I didn't remember. I watched the finish of the endurance race. No, it was Spain. There was a Spanish guy that won and he beat out Prince Mohammed from, where is he from?
Dubai,
thank you. Yeah, so that's what happened. Yeah.
Well,
and it was a girl, right?
I was for naming a tune, but you didn't have it.
Sorry about that. I didn't have time to get any ready today. Well, thank you, Doug. We appreciate you playing. Have a good day, okay?
All right, you too. Take care.
All right,
bye,
we'll talk to you. We'll see you Monday.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. That's going to be the first time that we actually have a listener co-host the show, so that'll be a lot of fun.
It'll
speaking
be great,
of that, Jim. Jamie says hi to everybody. I wanted to let you know. She said that the baby's still getting up every 2 hours, so she's trying to get sleep when she can, and she's hoping to be back in the next couple of weeks. She said she misses everybody and can't wait to get back to work and chat with everybody. So that was her message from Jamie. So she'll be back soon. All right, so next we have Lori, who's a new caller, Helena, from New Jersey.
Hi, Lori. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
We have, before we get started on the Wheel of Trivia, we have a question of the day. What is your favorite brand of truck? Ford, Chevy, GMC, Dodge, Toyota, or something else?
Has to be a Ford.
Ooh, Ford.
Ford. Yeah. Do you own a Ford?
Give her a hard question. Give her a hard question.
Yes. I have a Ford F-250.
Atta girl. All right. Even though Fords aren't my favorite trucks, when you hear 250, you're like, yeah, that girl's doing some serious hauling. Okay. The categories are horses by the numbers, horses in history, or come on, nobody knows that.
Come on, nobody knows that. We'll try that one.
Wow, I thought nobody would pick that. A lot of brave people this morning.
Yeah, yeah. She drives a 250. What do you want?
Yeah, that's right. She's tough.
Back in the day, when English helmets were for looks only and not for safety, what did it mean when the bow on the back of the helmet was sewn in a downward position?
Oh, my.
Did you know this one, Helena?
I do. Yeah, I do. If I didn't, okay. I would be like the lamest fox ever chased. It means that the wearer is a staff member. as a hunt staff member.
Oh, my.
When your bow is sewn in a downward position.
I thought they wore the pink coats for that.
No, not necessarily. You know what? Go over to Chasing a Fox. If you want your fox hunting entire history, go over there, Craig. Okay? Now's not the time for the lesson.
Right. I remember my very first riding helmet ever when I was about 9, I remember being berated by my next door neighbor who was an experienced hunter jumper rider for purchasing this helmet, which I think we paid $5 for used at a yard sale, and the bows were sewn down and we didn't know the difference. And he said, "Oh no, honey, you can't wear that." I was in tears.
Oh yeah.
I can't wear my new helmet. Oh my God.
They're tough, those bow Nazis.
Thank you, Lori. We appreciate
you
calling
so
in. Try again next week, okay?
Great.
And I forgive
you
for your choice of truck, by the way, just saying.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. All right. Next on the list, let's see here. We have Yvonne is next on the list. Yvonne, where are you from?
Bonita.
Oh, is this, what's that?
In Bonita, California.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Very good. Well, thank you for calling, a West Coast girl.
Yes, and my daughter wants to play. So here's my daughter, Sophia.
How old is your daughter? Well, we'll ask her, won't we?
I'm 11.
Hi there. What's your name?
Sophia.
Well, that's a pretty name. I like that
name. Thank you.
Well, so she gets a choice of a fourth category, too, doesn't she, Helena? Do you have a horse?
I have two.
What do you have?
And what do you do with them?
I ride them.
Yes, Helena.
I love kids. Sophia, you just made my day. Of course you ride your horses. Honest to goodness, we grown up to ask some stupid questions sometimes. What kind of horses do you have?
I have a thoroughbred and a paint.
Oh, very nice. Are they well behaved?
No.
Which is why riding them is such an important part of your day. You are absolutely adorable, Sophia. All right, I'm going to ask you a question from our kids category, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Where is a horse's pole located?
That's P-O-L-L.
I'm nervous. The top of his head?
Let's elaborate, maybe.
We're going to give it to her.
We're going to give it to her. That's pretty darn close, girl. Yes, the horse's pole is located at the base of the head, just at the top of the neck, right, where the neck meets the base of the head.
Very good. Well, that's great, Sophia. Congratulations. Now, I'm going to spin the wheel for you, and we'll see what you win, okay?
Okay.
Between his ears.
Give the wheel a spin here. We have some crappy prizes on there today, too. I hope you don't get one of those. Oh, just went by the crappy prize, so you're safe. Oh, you get... Actually, your horses are going to really like this. You win a Redmond Rock gift pack. This is... you know what that is? Redmond Rocks?
Yes.
Well, do your horses like them? I think all horses like them.
100% yes.
Well, there you go. Well, you're going to get a gift pack right from the mines in Utah. They're going to send you this gift pack for your horses. It's going to have all kinds of the great mineral rocks provided by Redmond Rock. And as you know, most horses love these things, and they're much better than those white processed salt bricks. They actually have 60 minerals in them. And they're going to send it out just for your pony. So thank you so much for playing, Sophia. And you hold on. Jennifer's going to talk to you and get your address, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Hold on. She was so cute.
She was cute. I'm looking at Jennifer's messaging me behind the scenes telling me that the pole is between the ears.
Well, that's on the top of the head.
Don't the ears sit at the back of the head where the neck... the top of the neck
yes,
meets the skull?
Yes, is that what you said? Yeah.
Well,
that's what I said.
Horse doesn't really have a back of his head. He has a top of his head.
Well, then she was absolutely
okay.
Right when she said top of the head. That's where I think all of us were getting confused.
Yeah, top of the head. So she was right, but right. Well, you know, when you think of the horse breaks at the pole, I'm thinking the apex of the curve of the neck. Whatever.
We don't know what apex means, Helena. It's between his ears.
The top of. The top of apex.
Let's take Barbie from New Jersey.
I overanalyze
Happy Barbie.
Everything.
Good morning,
oh,
Happy Barbie.
Oh, good morning, Happy Glenn. How are you? I missed you guys. I was away for a couple days.
You can't. You can bring us along. You know, we have the technology.
Oh, you know, I have a good excuse. I was riding my horse on Tuesday, and I called my son to tell him that there was Hot Pockets in the freezer, and he said, the police were here, we can't get a hold of you, and your husband and daddy's in the hospital with a heart attack. My husband, he's okay, but he had a heart attack, and he like...
Oh, my God!
Yeah, so they had to like bring him back to life at the school. The guy was a big hero, the nurse, the lunch aide. Yeah, it was a miracle. It was amazing. So anyway, I almost fell off my horse when I got... when I got the
oh, my gosh!
Thank God, Ada, you know Ada from New Jersey, she's an EMT. She was here, she was giving me my lesson. She said, get in the truck. I was on my way. The doctor said, no, put the blue lights on. You got to get here now. Yeah, so thank God. His mother came from North Carolina. I mean, it was crazy, but he was, so I miss you guys, but I'm
how old?
I mean, I'm
how old can I ask how old your husband is? Because, you know, I'm hearing about all these people my age having heart attacks, and it's really wearing me. So
we were in the hospital, and you know Tony Soprano, right? You heard that?
Yeah.
We were in the hospital. I'm like, oh, my gosh, my husband was on machines. And I'm like, oh, no. And then Ada heard of six people. Crazy. He is 52. And
wow.
His dad was 50 when he passed away. And my husband and I, I have furry children, but I have five stepchildren. So, yeah, they're all really grateful that he's still here. And all the kids were here. And, yeah, so it's been a crazy week. Not much sleep, not much to eat, not much ponies. But also, right before that, I got a pony. I'm so excited I got a pony. Oh!
Wow, where'd you get a pony? Where? What kind of, where, how, who, when, what?
You don't even want to hear this. This is Helena, right? Helena, it's a it's a gypsy pony.
Oh!
So cool. Not even is it that cool that it's a pony, but it's a gypsy pony. Yeah. I got, I have a gypsy horse that I got when he was in his mama's belly. And now he's three, and he's doing fantastically wonderful. And I want to use him for equine therapy, but he keeps on getting bigger and bigger. He wasn't supposed to get that big. And then I was just online. I always had my heart on this one horse, this one little gypsy, and his brother became for sale and just kind of needed a home. He was kind of in him. He needed me. So, he's at my house. He's loving life. He's getting fat.
Put a picture on our Facebook page, okay?
I definitely will. I definitely will. But, okay. Yeah, he's a hottie. He's a cutie pie. And you guys asked about the mane last week. These gypsies, they take care of their own mane. They scratch it on a tree. They yeah, so they're fun. And also, I won Shackley's one time, and I think I'm going to have to buy some more because this guy has white in him. So, yeah.
Well, great. Terrific. Well, let's give her a good category because she's had a hell of a week. And you know what, Helena, we always talk about horse girls or true horse girls. Her husband had a heart attack this week. She got a new horse. She has five kids, and she's still calling us. There
and
you go.
Laughing and giggling and being all happy. How cute. We love you. Like
You are sanity. That's why I call. Believe it or not, you're my sanity. Yes.
That's sad, Happy Barbie. That's
can you write that down somewhere, Barbie? Can you just write that down? Like maybe have it notarized.
Yeah, because Helena goes crazy doing shows with me. I'm not sanity when it comes to Helena.
Yeah,
I blend right in, I tell you. Me and Uta.
Yeah.
I had to come up with some kind of acceptable booze alternative for morning shows. Like when we do Scoop, at least sometimes it's afternoon, but or since the morning I had like, you know, mimosas, Bloody Marys, something, Irish coffee.
Something fruity.
All
yeah.
right, darling. Here are the categories for you today. We have horses by the numbers, horses in history, or, oh, come on, nobody knows that.
I'll go with numbers. I don't, give me a multiple choice. I don't know. You pick.
Okay. Horses by the numbers,
Okay, go.
Good one.
Four legs.
How many centimeters in a hand? Here's your multiple choice. A would be about 6, B about 10, C about 17. So how many centimeters in a hand? 6, 10, or 17?
I'm going to guess 10.
What?
10.
That is correct.
I even have the actual
question.
The actual number is 10.16.
Yeah, that was good. You knew it before. You even said 10 before you got the multiple choice. That's pretty good.
You know, I don't know any of these questions. Also, they just come out of my head when I talk to you guys on the phone because I know none of this stuff.
You're just good under pressure, clearly. You're good under pressure.
Yeah, give it to me. That's right.
Now, is your husband going to be okay? Is he home? What's going on here?
Yes, and the blockage was in what they call the widowmaker. They say that like 9 out of 10 of these people don't make it. I mean, it's a miracle. The fact that Ada was here, the EMT, on a Tuesday, and I took the day off, and I've been here 3 years, and I've never taken a day off during the week because I can't because the girl that helps me has a baby, blah, blah. It was just a crazy story, and he was like on his way to his lunch trailer, and if he made it to his lunch trailer, just the whole thing was a miracle. Yeah, the whole thing was a miracle. And also, remember, Glenn, I was telling you a couple weeks ago that I registered to get my gun. It's a pain in the neck in New Jersey, and I finally got my gun for the mounted shooting. But now, now I have to wait again because you got to wait 30 days to fill out more paperwork to send more paperwork in. So at the end of the month, I can go in again. It's crazy in New Jersey, you know. Yeah, you got to be. I don't know to get.
Don't they know you're shooting blanks at balloons? Maybe put that on the application.
The only way to be a criminal to get a gun in New Jersey is to be a criminal. Other than that, you can't get one, you know.
All right, let's spin the wheel. We're running out of time here, so give the wheel a spin, see what you win today. Oh, you just passed the combs, the assorted colorful bag of combs.
Oh, I need
which you
combs. I need combs, like a hair.
Oh, you actually win the Uncle Jimmy's Licky Thing gift pack.
Oh,
how appropriate that is.
And we're out. Oh, that's so awesome. Yay! And we have squeezy buns. I heard about them from Alina, so I had to get the squeezy buns because she told me to get them.
Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah. Helena loves squeezy buns.
Yeah, we do.
But today
you won
the Licky Things. You know what they are, but let me tell everybody else. You are actually winning the Licky Thing with a holder and two refills. This is a $30 value. It's an economical alternative to other market refills. Licky Things continue the Uncle Jimmy's tradition of providing important vitamins and minerals to your horse, not to mention a taste your horse will savor and love. And apparently your horses do.
Yeah, oh, my God, yeah, the Licky Things, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, we do it when we're having baths. We get Licky Things when we have baths, and we do a lot of baths.
Well, good. Well, you're going to need that with the new pony. So, well, I hope that your husband's okay, and congratulations on the new pony. Give them both a hug for us, okay?
Oh, you're the best. Thank you. Excellent, thank you.
All right, hold on, Barbie.
Bye, Barbie.
Bye, Alina.
Bye, hon.
she's fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Well, unfortunately, everybody, I think we've plain run out of time. If you're waiting on hold, I'm very sorry that we didn't get to you today. We were having too much fun. Boy, and I'll tell you what, Sophia cracked me up. She made my day.
I honestly, I know. I get that from Grace all the time. It's humbling. These kids are just way smarter than their parents. It's true.
I guarantee you Sophia is going to keep you going, won't she? She'll definitely keep you going. Well, keep you on your toes. Well, thank you so much to EquityMFG.com for sponsoring the Wheel of Trivia. We both, Helene and I and Jennifer, all of us, and Jamie, we love our manure forks, forks that we have from EquityMFG.com. And you know, we've talked about them before. It's time for you to just do something about it. Go to the website and buy them. The talking time is over. It's time to just go do it because, you know, you've heard us say how much these things work. They have suspension systems built in. The tines on them have a 13-month warranty. What other fork company does that? They, you know, if you're cleaning more than 3 stalls a day, I would say get the shaken fork. That's the one that does half the work for you. Just press the trigger and it shakes and you save your bedding. You save bedding. You'll make up for the fork in no time. And if you don't clean that many, then get the Flex and Fork, which is what we use outside here in Florida for the fields and stuff. And I know you love your Flex and Fork.
Oh, I can't live without it. I don't want to live without it. I could live without it. I do not want to live without it.
Well, it's funny because the dressage show hosts each got one, and they both said, now we have to buy a second one because everybody's fighting over the first one.
Yep.
So they run bigger barns, and Reese said, I cannot use my own manure fork. I have to hide it because I can never find it. People are always using it. So that tells you something. Go out and get one, equitymfg.com. Well, now it's time, and I hope everybody can bear with me a little bit because we're going to go back memory lane a little bit, back to the mid-90s. This is before we knew Helena, I think. Yeah, it was before we knew you, but you were involved in the retail world, in the horse world. Jennifer and I had a tack business. It was called the Horse Stuff Company. And we got to know some of the other early pioneers on the internet with tack. We were one of them. Our website was one of the first ones up there. And one of the people that we knew from way back when, her name was Rose, and she has the store Equus Now. And we're going to get Rose on here. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Helena.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is so much fun. Talk about memories. Now, before we go on, though, we have to ask you the question of the day, too. What model of truck is your favorite?
Easy. GMC.
Oh, see, that was our first GMC of the day. She's with you, Helena.
Never had a bad one, and they keep on going. I love them.
Well, there you go, Helena. Helena has a Chevy, and we determined that they're both the same thing anyway. So
they really are, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
and
Rose,
all the farmers around here have either a Chevy or a GMC, and they're old. Like, they keep going, and they're working. They're not just on the road. They're on the road, and they're working. So
you know what
they have about GMC?
GMC has style to it. You know, you see a GMC coming down the road, and it looks really good. You know, so you have the style, you know, as well as, you know, the power and the quality behind it. So I'm
you
a GMC
do. It's
girl.
It's a hot-looking truck.
You can't beat the front end of a Dodge. They just are cool, manly trucks, the front end of a Dodge.
When they run.
When they run, that's exactly it, when they run.
All right, let's get to the topic at hand here. You know, Rose, I wanted to have you on because we really were the pioneers of selling tack and clothing and things on the internet back a long time ago in the mid-90s, and some of these things are going to ring a bell to the people who are over 35 listening, and the ones under 35, some of this is going to be new. But a name from back then that was synonymous, they really owned the marketplace, was Miller's, and you were a Miller's rep back then, weren't you?
I was. I started working for Miller's when I was 18 years old. And it was back in 1992, and Miller's was it. I mean, that was the source, you know, for anything equestrian. And I remember as a kid, you know, going to bed with the Miller's catalog, you know, and circling everything I wanted. And it was just, it was such a part of my life that when I actually started working there, it really was a dream come true.
Now, where were they located? Where were you working?
Miller's was in East Rutherford, New Jersey, right by the Meadowlands Sports Complex. And I had a good hour commute because I lived in Linden, New Jersey, you know, in the heart of Union County. And it was in East Rutherford I think it was there since the late 70s. It was there for quite a long time. And it was just a great, great place.
You know, the Miller's catalog, I remember when I first met Jennifer, you know, that was, everybody looked forward. There was no internet then. Everybody looked forward to the Miller's catalog showing up. It doesn't matter how old you were, but that was the catalog. I mean, there were other companies, but it just seemed like Miller's really did own the market. They were the Walmart at that point where they just owned the market and they were everywhere.
Well, they had that great catalog.
They really did. And it was funny that Miller's had literally no competition, you know, for years and years, that they did such a great job with their products, you know, with their catalog, that, that, you know, they really set the standard for the industry today.
Then where did Isers come in? Another name that everybody's going to remember. How did Isers get into the mix then?
You know, Isers is an interesting story. It started in a little store in Hillside, New Jersey. And if people are listening, know, you know, Hillside, it was just a kind of a suburb of Newark, which is, you know, pretty much a rough hood nowadays. Very small store, and they had a catalog business. And their catalog business grew, you know, over the years. And eventually, this is in the late 80s, they were going head-to-head with Miller's. And Isers was the one that had the Pessoa saddles, as well as Encore's breeches and several other brands that really gave Miller's a run for their money later on.
Well, and then how did you go from working for Miller's to starting Equus Now?
You know, I was on the road from 97 to 99. And, you know, it was my job really to go into stores and show them product, but also showing them how to merchandise and how to set up and how to sell. And, you know, one day I was in Chicago, and I was visiting my friend over at Saddler's Row, Francis. And I said, you know what, I can do this. You know, I can do this myself. So I gave notice that afternoon, and I just decided to try it myself. And I started a little store in the southwestern corner of Michigan, a little town called Constantine, and I literally put the tack shop in my garage. And, you know, when the garage door is shut, you know, you couldn't tell anything was in there, and the garage door opened is, you know, hey, there's Rose's tack shop. And my thing was selling products on eBay. You know, I was an eBay seller first and foremost.
And if you, I remember that's where we first found each other. Is we had a store in central Pennsylvania, and it was also in our house. That was a big house, and it was set up for retail. But we had our store there, the Horse Stuff Company, and we had some overstock, and we didn't know what to do with it. And there was this brand new thing that had just hit the internet. And by the way, we were all in dial up days then. There was no fast internet at all. We were still doing. Every time you wanted to post something or check on your eBay ads. And that's where we ran into you. Was you and I were probably one of the first ones posting tack or anything horsey related on eBay.
I think you're right. You know, we were, you know, like you said, the original pioneers of selling products on eBay. And, you know, it's a funny story about eBay because I remember watching The Tonight Show and Robin Williams was talking, you know, to Jay Leno. And he mentioned eBay. And Jay said, well, what is this eBay? You know, I hear this word being thrown around, but I have no idea what it is. And, you know, he went into his, you know, his Robin Williams routine about eBay. And that was the point, you know, when eBay really kind of took off. It was right around, you know, the beginning of 1999. And it's completely changed the way a lot of companies do business, and it started so many companies now that are completely different, and they've evolved from their eBay roots. But it really gave us a launching pad on how to do business.
And we kind of stole from each other because none of us knew what we were doing, so we were always looking at the other person's ad and going, "Well, theirs is better than mine. I'm just going to use that." And, you know, kind of all did because we had no idea what we were doing. If you remember right back in the beginning of eBay, you couldn't even pay online. We had our first online tack shop, and you couldn't pay on. There was just no system set up for that back in the early days of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, everything was in code back then. You know, there was no simple, like follow this step to do this. You had to do all your own coding on the Internet. And, you know, HTML code now is pretty much non-existent except, you know, with programmers. But we were so, I think, far ahead of the game back then that, you know, we were really able to read code, decipher code, and, you know, employ code that it really made us humble, you know, when it comes to selling products online.
Not to mention it was just a pain in the ass.
Oh, man. Yeah, it would take us a good hour, you know, to put one product up. And I remember, you know, working in my garage at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, thinking, oh, man, this code is killing me. But that's really what it took to sell.
I remember writing my own shopping cart. I mean, Glenn, I was pretty quickly behind you guys, and I had the Horse and Hound online, and I had to actually code my own shopping cart. And
you're right, though,
Rose, it's just like to get one product into your cart was, it took you like 3 days.
Oh, man.
So
I remember. I'm so jealous of the people now, like, starting their websites, and they're just, like, basically out-of-the-box systems, and they buy this website, and all of a sudden they're selling online, and I'm like, what the heck? You know, I'm just green.
But you know what? You've been in it longer. We've been in it for a long time. And what you find now is the playing field is leveled. So once again, so now everybody has access to these online shopping carts and online stores. But the business process, the business modeling behind a successful retail business is still really important. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to know tack. And, you know, coming from your background, well, my goodness, you know, it doesn't really get any more experience than that. But you know, one of the things I noticed about your business is your tagline, Tack for the 21st Century.
Yes.
And
yes.
I love that. It's very intriguing. How has tack changed, or selling tack, not online, but just in general, between when you started, between the Millers and Isers days and now? What do you notice is the biggest difference?
Oh, yeah, it has changed so much. Your biggest difference is that, you know, first of all, you know, way back when, you know, like, you know, companies would put out a product, you know, stores would sell a product. But, you know, now products are completely driven by the consumer. You know, I've seen great changes when it comes to quality of product and value for the price. You know, a lot of people say, you know, prices go up. Honestly, in the tack business, I've seen prices go down because I've seen exceptional leather quality goods come out of places where they hadn't before. You know, there's people in India that are making tack that are really artisans, and they have come so far, you know, in the past 10 years. You know, the Vespucci line is a great example. You know, Vespuccis are assembled in India, and they are among, you know, one of the nicest strap good lines you could buy, and they oil beautifully and they hold up well. So what I'm really seeing the differences in is the places of manufacture and how well they've done and how much they've learned over the years.
So technology has almost, well, technology and manufacturing has actually brought the price down because they've been more efficient. So they can create better quality goods for a lower
price. For a lesser price. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, they've learned, you know, how to do it right, and they've learned, you know, by mistakes. And you know, as the end result, I mean, we're just seeing some exceptional goods for prices that are really surprising nowadays.
Now,
cool.
Rose, you do both. I mean, obviously you've done both since the quote-unquote the beginning, both Internet, and you have a great big store there in Ohio. And we actually got to visit it when we went up for Quarter Horse Congress. We stopped by to Equith now, and it's a fantastic store. It's beautiful, and it's a lot of fun to visit. And there's lots of good parking, which is important. Some tack shops don't have that. But you know, what do you still find that you're doing about half and half, or is it mostly internet now and the stores there? How has that changed for you over time?
You know, when Equus now started, you know, we were a 99% mail order company, and when we started in Michigan, in my garage, and my drive was mail order all the way. When we moved to Columbus, Ohio, back in 2002, my mentality was the same thing, that we were a mail order business, you know, with a very small retail presence. However, the Columbus, Ohio market has completely evolved that way of thinking. So, you know, we started out with a 4,000 square foot store when we moved here. Now we're close to 18,000 square feet of like retail space, and it's all because of the Ohio market. It's a great place, you know, to live, you know, to have a horse business, and it's changed our demographic, you know, from that 90% mail order to probably about 70% mail order overall, and we're doing about 30%. In the store, but the mail order end of our company is still, you know, our main business.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, and you know, that's, you know, because you have the whole country. But I do love your store. It was fun to visit. That's for sure. And of course,
thank you so much.
You know, because of where you're located, you are so close to some of the biggest horse events that happen in Ohio, Pennsylvania, in that mid region.
you know, this is a great area, and I'm so thankful, you know, that we moved our company here. The horse community here is just fabulous. Everyone, you know, gets along, and everyone works together, which is, you know, I'm an East Coast girl, and it's so nice just to see, you know, barns that are literally, you know, competitor barns working together and selling horses together, and just as an end result, you know, just looking for the best horse, you know, for that client. And, you know, Ohio just has a great reputation of being a very good place to live. And I'm very thankful that we're based in Columbus, Ohio.
And, of course, we all, twice a year, and our audience knows about this because we do shows live from there, and ADA, the American Equestrian Trade Association, has been kind enough to bring us in for the last many years now to their twice-a-year trade show that they have in Philadelphia, which we're still hoping they move to someplace nicer. But they
–
sorry, Philadelphians. Yeah, that would
Vegas.
Be great. I would be there. We would be there with you in no time.
Yeah,
or
my money
in winter
blackjack,
one.
But.
Yeah, I mean, in the winter one, how about Florida? You know, southern Florida would be great. But anyway, we go to that, and we have so much fun there. And, you know, I know that you attend that on a regular basis as well. Those trade shows, too, you know, we all go, and even in the modern day, we don't have to go to those trade shows. You know, you could do all of that online if you wanted to, but it's just, it is the camaraderie. It's getting to see you. It's getting to see everybody else. We still need that personal touch. And that's why I think the stores are still so important. You know, online's taken a lot of that business, but I think the stores are so important because everybody still needs to talk to somebody in person.
Absolutely. You know, I think the experience, like you said, of going into a store and, you know, getting expert advice and really being fit to a saddle and fit to toll booth, there is no comparison to it. You know, I mean, just to kind of get off topic slightly, you know, we ship a lot of toll booths and we ship a lot of helmets. And I'll tell you, out of 10 helmets we ship or 10 toll booths we ship, 8 are going to come back, you know, because they're not going to fit. And when you go into your local store, you know, and you work with the experts that are here, you're going to leave with a perfectly fitting product. And that's only going to happen, you know, when you go to your local store. So I am a huge proponent of supporting local business because, you know, if you don't, they're not going to be there when you need them. And you really do need them. And, you know, the trade shows like you're talking about, it's a human connection. You know, I love to be there and to see my suppliers and to let them know face-to-face what we need. You know, because suppliers are really kind of in a different echelon than us. They're not working with the end user. And we know, you know, what customers want. We know how products, you know, work when they're actually being used, you know, in the field, where our suppliers don't. You know, they're making the products, but they're not using the products. So
yeah,
for me to be there.
You're providing a lot of the feedback, too, from the, you know, you're helping
absolutely.
Them. You're feeding their business by giving them the feedback they need in terms of product development, because how else do they get that besides their retailers?
Exactly. You know, and before they turn out like 10,000 units of something, you know, if you can catch it beforehand and say, look, all you got to do is change the buckle on this, turn it around, you know, this way, you're going to have a sellable product. And I think that is the most important thing about, you know, these shows is that you have, you know, the retailers there, you know, saying, you know, this is what you need to do to make this product a success.
Rose, this has been a lot of fun going down memory lane with you, and it's been a lot of fun catching up again. And I hope we'll get to see you in August. We'll be there doing our morning show. We'll do Horses in the Morning live from there. Helena, you're going to be there this time, too.
I will, indeed, yes.
Yes, so we'll get to see Helena and hang out with you again, so that'll be fun. And Rose, you better stop by and say hi.
Absolutely. You know I will.
And it's equusnow.com, right?
Equusnow.com. We're having a huge promotion. If you go to our website, we're giving away $30 for 30 reviews. So all you got to do is pick 30 of your favorite products from our website, write a review, you get $30 from us to go shopping. So definitely check out the website, participate in this great promo, and have fun shopping.
Thank you, Rose.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Helena. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that was fun. You know, we had a great time back then, and you know, it was difficult to do business. And you're a web designer, and you've been a web designer for a very long time. As you know, I wouldn't even call myself a web designer. I'm more of a mediocre try it and hope I get it right guy. And, you know, but that's what we had to do back then because there really wasn't a rule book. It just did it. There were no guidelines. It was like, just do what you can and see if you can get it done, because who can afford to spend at that point to get a website built in the 90s was hugely expensive.
Yeah, well, these days, you know, your online presence, whether it's social media or your website, which, you know, is obviously still relevant, that's the face of all your marketing. So a lot of people's marketing budgets are going toward websites these days.
And, of course, you do that, don't you, still? You have a real job.
Well, I have a real job, yeah, sparkleandboom.com. Check it out.
Sparkleandboom.com. That's where you can get Helena's help with websites or with marketing, with social media, all of that stuff. Yes, Helena has to do something else because we don't pay her much for doing this. So
I do this for the love. It's all
about
the love.
That's right, because she loves us. Well, let's take a break for the Horse Radio Network and a little song today, Runaway by Templeton Thompson. And then, of course, it's Wednesday. So it's time for the digital editor of thehorse.com, Michelle Anderson, to join us with another topic on horse health. We'll be right back after this song from Templeton Thompson.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022, or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson and Runaway, of course, if you didn't get that out of the song. You weren't listening. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I am Glenn the Geek here with Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Radio Show. And, of course, Coach Jen from Horse Tip Daily and producer of this show is here as well. We want to thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Well, we have thehorse.com coming up here very shortly, and Jennifer is getting them lined up right now. While we're waiting for them, Helena, I do have a quick question for you. And that is, what do you think, I have this list, you know, Glenn's crappy list Wednesday. I have this list. What do you think is the worst fat or fast food in terms of calories? I have the top 10 highest calorie fast foods.
Highest calorie fast food has got to be Burger King's bacon double cheeseburger.
Well, you know, you would have thought that, and I thought that too. And actually, Burger King has a triple cheeseburger, three patties, three slices of cheese, and all the bread and everything else. But that wasn't the top of the list either. Believe it or not, there are things worse than that, and here are a couple of them. Number 10 on the list was Pizza Hut's 14-inch large meat lover's pizza. 470 calories per slice for that.
What?
Yes, per slice. Subway's mega meat on a flatbread with egg. Their breakfast sandwich, when you get the mega meat one, it's 660 calories. Dunkin' Donuts frozen mocha coffee colada with cream, 730 calories. Taco Bell's Volcano Nachos, which are absolutely wonderful, by the way, 970 calories. Love those things. Panera Bread is on the list, believe it or not. We love Panera Bread. We spent a Panera Bread with you. Steak and white cheddar on a French baguette is 980 calories. Coming in at number five, this is what's amazing to me. If you think about going out and you're thinking, what can I get that's lower in calories, chicken or a triple cheeseburger, which would you pick?
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. Well, Wendy's Dave's hot and juicy three-quarter pound triple patty with cheese is 1,100 calories. But in front of that, in the fourth place, is KFC's 10-piece bag of recipe chicken bites. So, you know, and I've gotten that before. They're just little chicken bites, and, you know, 10 of them. 1,300 calories in that. Now, the top three, McDonald's Big Breakfast with Syrup. And who hasn't had the Big Breakfast with Syrup? 1,300 calories in that Big Breakfast. Burger King's Ultimate Breakfast Platter came in number two at 1,400 calories, and top on the list for the highest calorie food at a fast food place is, believe it or not, chicken. White Castle's 20 chicken rings, and I've always wanted to get those and never did. They look so good, and apparently 20 chicken rings from White Castle, not very big, they're just little rings of processed chicken, 1,700 calories topping out the list. Higher by almost double the cheeseburger, triple cheeseburger from Wendy's. Wow.
Oh, my God. Like, my stomach is, like, tying up in knots over that. And then because I'm hungry.
I know.
Now,
and nobody really wanted to know that. Sorry about that, because we all want to stick our heads in the sand. At least I do. That new menu at McDonald's with the calories on it, I hate that thing. Take it down.
Yeah.
Don't want to know.
Yeah. And the bad news is that mucking two stalls a day just doesn't burn 1,700 calories, so don't even go there.
Well, guys, I have to run here. Jennifer and Helena are going to finish out the show with Michelle from thehorse.com. I actually have an entire day of Red Cross training I have to get to. So have a great day, everybody, and we hope that you ride safely today. And I'm going to play this for you, Helena. Take it away.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And then we can. And now we have our weekly horse health report from thehorse.com with Michelle Anderson. She's the digital editor of thehorse.com. Welcome back to Horses in the Morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well. We have some interesting stuff on tap today, don't we?
We do. So last week we talked about the ACVIM forum, and Dr. Roos, Sarah Roos, was on with us to explain what an internal medicine specialist is. So while I was at the forum, they also gave out their ACVIM Animal Survivor Awards, and that went to four dogs and a horse. And these are animals that have overcome the odds with the help of an internal medicine specialist to survive a devastating disease. So this morning we have two guests, which is more than we usually have, but we have Julie Blacklow, who is the trainer of the horse Q, who was the animal survivor, and Dr. Chantelle Rothschild. And you're with Northwest Equine Associates in Maple Valley, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So they are here to tell us a little bit about Q and his story. So I want to start out by asking Julie, can you tell us a little bit about who Q is?
Sure. Q is, we were a breeding barn up until a couple years ago, Q, and we named him Q because no one could agree on a name, Q, so we just named him the letter Q. Anyway, he was our last baby born at Rosebud River Ranch 2 years ago, April. And he's a Rocky Mountain trail horse, Kentucky Mountain and Mountain Pleasure. So he's a triple register, excuse me, baby from a great line of a great sire and great dam. So that he was our last baby born in April of 2 years ago.
Okay. And so a couple years ago when he was about 7 months old, I believe that was the right age, he started to kind of not seem right. Can you tell us a little bit about what you first noticed, Julie, that wasn't right with Q?
Sure. We noticed that he was quieter, more well-behaved, not as frisky as the other. We had had about 90 foals born over a 15-year period at the ranch. And we noticed that he was lethargic, quiet. He had gone in, excuse me, to be gelded, and he also had a little hernia problem. So we had him gelded at a very young age, at 4 months. And when he came back from his surgery, he seemed just quieter than any foal we'd ever seen. But we didn't really have a clear signal that he was sick until he was 6 months old, when he spiked a very high fever almost overnight. Then we had the evidence we needed to determine that this horse was sick.
Yeah, and it was a really high fever, wasn't it, like 104?
Yes, he went up to 104. We called in our vet, started him on some antibiotics, and he just didn't respond. And that's when I took my next step to find Dr. Rothschild.
Okay. So, Dr. Rothschild, you're an ACVIM, which means that you are an internal medicine specialist. And what when you examined Q, what made you think that it might be Lysonia?
Hi, good morning. Yes, well, Q was a young foal, and he was having this fever and developing some swelling under his jaw, and he was kind of, like Julie said, very quiet, very docile. And then I ran some blood work, and he had a very low protein level. And that's a characteristic of this disease, which is called proliferative enteropathy, which is a fancy name. It just means that the gut gets really thickened, and it can't absorb protein. And that's caused by a bacteria called Lysonia. So at that point, I kind of just had a guess that it would be Lysonia because of the age, the swelling, the low protein, and because he wasn't responding to anything else. And go ahead.
I just wanted to correct something. You know, it does occur to me that Q was actually closer to a year old when this happened. He had been lethargic, but he wasn't sick. The fever, I need to correct myself, didn't really spike until he was about 11 months old. So he was on the older side of when I think Lawsonia sometimes appears in young horses.
Yeah, and so this is something that we, those who are familiar with it, associate it with younger foals. And I want to ask, because Julie, you are a lifelong horsewoman. Had you ever heard of this disease when Dr. Rothschild mentioned it as a possibility?
No, not at all. And because, again, we didn't have a clear signal of illness, he was eating, he was none of the other clues presented themselves that would say this horse is not well. So, no, I had never heard of it at all. And, in fact, I would later learn that all of our other horse people that I came into contact with subsequent to the diagnosis had never heard of it, including some equine vets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know it's a disease that we have quite a bit of coverage on it on the horse and thehorse.com. But it's one that until I was in my position with the horse a year and a half ago that I wasn't familiar with either, and I thought I had seen it all. So,
yeah.
Dr. Rothschild, when did you first learn about this disease, and at what point did you start treatment on Q for this?
Yeah, I did my residency in equine internal medicine at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington, and that I had read about Lawsonia, but I had never seen a case until I was there, and during my residency we had a couple foals come in that were sick and had the swelling and the low protein, and we did several diagnostics, and they were positive, and that's when I actually had real practical experience with them. But they were all very young foals in their 3-4 months of age, which is the typical presentation. And Q was already 11 months of age. But as Julie said, when she started telling me the history, she said that since he was like 7 months, he was very quiet and very friendly. And it just sounded like Lawsonia, because Lawsonia typically goes on for 2-3 months before people realize that the foal is actually sick, because it's such a slow developing disease. And that was one of the reasons why it prompted me to suspect Lawsonia, because of the history of him. They thought he was just being nice and friendly and a sweet baby, but to me it just sounded odd that he was so docile for so long. And then when I saw his protein levels being so low, I figured this has been going on for a long time, and they just confused his behavior as being a cute, friendly baby, but actually he was sick for a long time, and we ran some tests, and we were starting to be in a pinch there because he was getting sick very quickly. His protein level was dropping so fast that we went ahead and started the treatment for Lawsonia before we had any confirmation of the diagnosis, and within 2-3 days his protein levels started going up again and he started responding, and so that was the most important confirmation that I needed, that was what was going on.
Okay. And Dr. Rothschild, I'm also a cougar. I went to Washington State University. and I'm thinking back to my animal science courses there, and maybe it was then or maybe it was later on, but this is something that I've heard of associated with swine. Is that?
Yes, that is correct. It is a very common disease among pigs and in pig farms. And so initially, anytime there was a baby horse that had Lawsonia, they would think that, oh, they must have had contact with an infected pig, or the poop of that pig somehow got to the farm where the foal is. But now more recent research found that several wild animals can carry Lawsonia. Even if they don't get sick, they'll shed it in their poop. So they found it in different animals that could wander, like wolves or ferrets and squirrels. And so we're starting to think that maybe those are more likely, because a lot of farms, especially like in Q's case, they've never had a pig or never had any contact with pigs. So that would offer another explanation of how these babies acquire the disease.
Yeah. My horse really doesn't like the neighbor's pig, so I'm going to think that he's smarter than the rest of us on this. So once Q, you started treating him, what was the treatment protocol, Dr. Rothschild? And Julie, what was it that you had to do to take care of him as he recovered?
Well, I placed Q on a couple of pretty aggressive drugs that have really good penetration and absorption into the intestinal walls, and one of those was rifampin, and the other one was azithromycin, and he was medicated 3 times a day, so every 8 hours, and he also had some anti-inflammatories and other medications just to help with his general well-being and feeling better and starting to eat. So it was quite labor-intense because it was 3 times a day, but then there was a lot of other things, and he had to go on a high-protein diet, and it was a lot of work for him and a lot of work for Julie and the staff at the farm to do. And I must say that some foals, because they're so young, they're not that easy to treat that many times a day, and they really resent the handlers. But in the case of Q, he was great. He was pretty sick at the beginning, but then as soon as he started feeling better, he still would take his meds really well, and he didn't resent the people, you know, putting those meds in his mouth, and he didn't have diarrhea or any problems, let's say side effects that could have happened.
So, Julie, when did you first notice that he was feeling better?
Very quickly. I would say within the first week, we started to see his brightness return. You know, I just had another horse recently, actually my own, who had some sort of little infection, and the word that vets often use is the horse seems dull. And so Q, certainly by the time he was fully sick with this disease, was just dull and not acting horsey at all. But within the first week, he started to brighten up and he became less dull. And so we knew right away that we were on the right track. And I just wanted to throw in one comment here. I did not put the pieces together of what was going on with this foal. I had witnessed dozens of foals born at the ranch. I knew normal foal behavior, which all horse people do, you know, friskiness, running around. And Q had been doing all of those things up until 4 months old. He was acting normally and running around and annoying his mother. And then when he came back from surgery, things just changed. But I did not put the pieces together. I think I mentioned in the video, I thought it was just our wonderful training that made him super quiet and well-behaved. But it was not that. He was ill, but we just couldn't see, put the pieces of the puzzle together. But he started to respond very quickly. And just to echo what Dr. Rothschild said, some of our early training, I think, did pay off for him because he never once shied away from us when we came in to give him these huge doses of meds, 3 times a day, sometimes 4 times a day over a 24-hour cycle. He held his head up for us. He, you know, let us, you know, stroke his throat till he swallowed the meds, and he wanted to get better. This little guy, I think Dr. Rothschild would agree, chose to live.
And so did he turn into a wild child once he was feeling better?
Well, Dr. Rothschild
talked
about this.
That's what I was wondering.
The first symptom, he grew 6 inches within a few, 4 months, 5 months. His height caught up. He had been stunted, I think, and Dr. Rothschild, I think, agrees with this. So now he's 2 years old, and he's already 16-1 at the Withers, which is enormously big for a Rocky Mountain horse. So he grew, he filled out, and he became not out of control at all. He's still a very sweet boy, but and very nice. But yes, he's an imp, and you know he I call him a right brain extrovert because he just wants, you know, he just wants to eat everything, and like a little toddler, you know, everything goes in his mouth, including, I might add, 2 weeks ago, a piece of tape, which he managed to pull off a fence and swallow. But that's another story. Yeah.
And did he survive that?
Yes, and I had, we okay. had to give him mineral oil. You know, we had to do meds again in his mouth,
mm-hmm.
and we took him over, and he raised his head up for us and opened his mouth. He remembered.
What a good boy.
Yeah,
good
it was
boy.
6 weeks. 6 weeks of this medical profile, medication profile mm-hmm. protocol. He that's a lot, and
mm-hmm.
he just opened his mouth and raised his head. So
yeah.
he was a good boy.
Yeah, it sounds like he'll be easy to deworm for the rest of his life.
yeah, there's that. Yes, yes, yes. If we can mount him, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Rothschild, what could have been the consequences of not identifying this disease? What's the end result if they don't get treatment?
Well, in his case, he was pretty close to becoming terminally ill and dying because his albumin, which is one of the proteins that we measure, was so low, and every 24 to 48 hours, it would drop, not by half, but close to that, and it was below 1.0, which is pretty low at that point. So, yeah, he was going to die pretty quickly, and that's why we didn't wait for a lot of the testing. We just started treating him, and I think that part of it is he's one of those very strong-hearted horses, and that's great for us that own those. But at the same time, they put up with the disease for so long and pretend everything's okay that when they show that they're sick, they're really sick, and you don't have a lot of time, and that was Q's case. So we had to hurry a little bit for him not to succumb and die. But luckily, the therapy works very well, and he started responding right away, and he did really well, but it could have been a sad ending.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, that our stoic horses sometimes don't let us know that things are wrong. And then on the other hand, I have some kind of wimpy horses that complain and complain and complain and let you know that they aren't okay. So it is so important to know your horses, and I'm so glad that Julie and her staff were able to notice that he wasn't doing well. And I want to ask you, Dr. Rothschild, what has it meant to be involved with a horse that is an ACVIM animal survivor?
Oh, it's an awesome experience because, as I mentioned at the ACVIM conference, when we are specialists and we deal with the diseases that are a little bit more complicated or weird or difficult for general or regular veterinarians to diagnose, a lot of them, when they arrive to us, it's too late and they don't make it. Or they arrive to us and we find out what's wrong, but it's such an expensive treatment that the owners can't afford it and we end up euthanizing them. And so when you have one that not only the patient but the owners and the staff involved in the care of the animal want to go forward and treat and get them better, it's a great experience, and he was selected among five of my other pretty difficult cases to be the one to be presented at the conference, and it was just such a joy to be able to talk about a baby horse that was going to die, and he made it, and then listen to other stories of survivors that also had complicated diseases, and they were able to survive, and they're happy, and it's so much fun to go to the farm now and see Q running around and playing. He actually got a little too rough with the other colts, you know, and he has to be separated because he grew so much and he's so spunky and, you know, but it's fun. It's great. It makes all our work worthwhile.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to say we put Q, he was in a pasture with a 5-year-old gelding, and he just tortured this guy. You know, he wouldn't leave him alone. He wouldn't let him graze. He was biting at his knees and legs and just would not, you know, let little Orion alone, leave him alone. So we put Q in a pasture with a mare, a fairly nasty mare, who very quickly showed Q the rules.
Oh, those babysitters are great.
Oh, yeah, she babysat him and she's nailed him. She doesn't have any shoes on, but she's, you know, bitten him and kicked at him and tells him, you know, here's what, you know.
Straighten up, kid.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's a wonderful, joyful thing to see. And Q loves Dr. Rothschild. I mean, he nuzzles her every time he sees her, and she looks at him with great
pride and a sense of accomplishment, which was true for all of us. And I just am so glad I found her, and I was missing the signs. And I have to say, too, his first vet that looked at him missed the signs as well. So it took a specialist to aggressively begin this protocol. Thank God.
And Julie, I want to ask, what do you think that other horse owners and those who manage horses can learn from Q's story?
Well, sometimes it's easy to miss the signs, but it's a question of just being more conscious, you know, and also to keep up the pursuit. I did not accept the first diagnosis. The first vet thought this was just some sort of infection, and SMZs, antibiotics, would fix it. I listened to my gut, and it told me that's not the way to go. But I was missing the sign, so I would say, you know, we all have to be more observant, and there was some pride involved again. I thought our staff, we trained him so well, but that it was not that at all. I didn't see, something was wrong, but I missed it. And so I'm much more vigilant now about what I'm looking at.
Well, thank you, Julie, and thank you, Dr. Rothschild, for joining us and telling us Q's story. I want to let everyone know that on thehorse.com we have some really great long-form seminars that if people are interested in learning more about Lithonia intercellularis, you can go to thehorse.com, go under videos and seminars, and you can't miss it. You scroll down and you can see the horse and the pig together. There's a presentation that was done by a Lithonia specialist in swine, and then also a presentation that was done, a clinical perspective on treating foals with Lithonia. So check those out. We also have some articles and stuff. This is one of those things that we aren't all familiar with, at least I know I wasn't, and it's really interesting and really important to know about these emerging diseases in our horses. So thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
It was a
pleasure. Yeah, pleasure to be able to talk about them.
Great fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And tell Q hi for us.
Oh, we will. We'll give him a carrot.
Perfect.
You.
Thank you.
Cute. Well, thank you, Michelle, for heightening my sense of paranoia.
I know. Are you terrified? Because it's terrifying.
just when you think
you know everything that can go wrong with your horses, there's something else that emerges, and this one's scary.
Wow, I wonder what the statistics are for how often this is diagnosed in a horse in a given year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the numbers on those. I know that Gluck in Lexington is doing a lot of research into it and looking at Lithonia, and they have lots of great information as well. I think it's one of those things that maybe it was something, everyone thought it was something else, and it was actually this causing the problem with these horses.
Yeah.
Where
well, thank you once
find
again,
more
Michelle.
Information about this particular topic, Michelle?
So if you go to thehorse.com and search for it, if you search for Lithonia or enteropathy, both of those will lead you to a topics page. Like I mentioned, we have those long-form seminars. They're long, either 45 minutes long, but that's where I learned about the diseases when they first came across my desk. Really good information in there about recognizing the clinical signs and treatment and survival rate on these babies that get it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, as always, for another interesting, if a little frightening this time, segment from thehorse.com. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Well, there we go.
All right.
I think we've just run out of time, Helena.
We have just run out of time. But you're going to find more information about everything we covered in this time, this morning. If you go to horsesinthemorning.com, you'll find links to today's guests and our show notes. You can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning when you log on, right?
And you can listen to all of the shows that we carry on the Horse Radio Network by going to horseradionetwork.com. It's one place to surf for all of the shows if you're like me and you can't decide which one to listen to. And for folks who miss the live shows, we post them every single day, and they are archived forever, so you can go back and listen to your favorite reruns.
You can just,
your next Felina.
We all know that reruns are awesome. Yes, I know. There's a delay. I'm catching this. Remember to search the web for snarky or silly ads and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com for your chance at cool prizes on Friday's really bad ads. Now, go ride your horse because you can burn off an Oreo McFlurry in about 2 hours. Well, 4 days in 2 hours.
Well, it depends on how much trotting and cantering you do.
That's true. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Helena. Go have a McFlurry.
You bet I will. I'm having a bacon double cheeseburger.
Dang! I'm going to have some of those chicken rings.
Yeah. 1,700 calories.
Ooh. Sounds gross.